Okay. So good morning, everybody. We will, with my colleague Eva, present you LCI in wastewater treatment, and with two specific applications, one to wetland system and one to the sewer. The presentation will be cut in four parts. A short introduction. The introduction will be for those who don't know so much about LCA, and sorry for those who knows who are expert in LCA. Just to remind basic points. Then we will discuss of general guidelines for good practices in LCAs of wastewater system, wastewater treatment system. And then we will try to apply those recommendations to the specific case, and my colleague Eva will present it, to the case of constructed wetland vertical red bed filters. And then we will see results from the entire system, the wastewater treatment plus the sewer. Okay? And we will try to make short breaks, very short breaks to shorten, with some question in between. So the first introduction will don't deal with wastewater, it is just deal with LCA and the example that doesn't are out of the scope, just to focus on some point of LCA, except that one. So classically, in wastewater treatment, people who are in charge of monitoring environment these last decades only watch up at the output of the wastewater treatment. I mean, environment was that, only that. And the environmental performance of a wastewater treatment has been measured during the last decades only by measuring what the output in the water. The point is that to get that quality, you need resource consumption and you have other emission. In particular, all the nitrogen which is not anymore in the water, rejected, is rejected in the air. That's a pollution transfer. You clean the water, but you emit substance to the air. And then you have, you use a lot of energy to clean the water, and also you have waste, sludge, lixiviate. And these have also emission in the air, soil, and water. And that's what the object of what we are talking today, how to assess the entire system, or in other words, this quality, the quality of the water you reject in the water bodies, as a cost, a financial cost, but it also have an environmental cost, and that is the environmental cost of that quality, and we should find a kind of balance. And that's the aim of life cycle assessment. So why an LCA approach? That's what I said yesterday during the introduction. Most of you are not there to do LCAs for doing LCA. You are there to learn how to eco-design the wastewater systems, to improve the wastewater systems. And if you want to improve something, you need to have something to measure it. And life cycle assessment is the only approach that takes the entire life cycle, and which is a multi-criteria approach. So if I, just to fix, to for those who don't know anything about LCA, if I have a kind of graphic like that, here are the environmental criteria, like ecotoxicity, eutrophication, greenhouse gas emission, ozone depletion, etc. And here I have all the life cycle stage, raw material extraction, fabrication of infrastructure use, and then end of life. You know, it make a kind of matrix. So life cycle assessment is the total, the full monty. All the criteria at all life cycle stage. If you might make an energetic balance, you only take care of energy. You can take the entire life cycle of the system, but you only take care of one dimension. If you make a carbon footprint or water footprint, it is exactly the same. If you make an environmental risk assessment, you take only the site, so this is the operation and maintenance of the wastewater system, for instance, you will take care of all the impact, but it is not the entire life cycle of the system. So that, if you have, for those who never know LCA, if you have one thing to remember, that's that slide. It helps you to understand. So then, life cycle thinking, based on that slide, is avoiding pollution transfer from life cycle stage to another, I improve fabrication, but the product is less, the end of life of the product is less easy. From one geographic region to another, or from one impact category to another. So for instance, the previous example on water was a carbon footprint approach. If you apply the same approach to France with a monocriterial approach to our energy mix, which is composed of 74% of nuclear power, the results will be entirely different. And in France, if you only do carbon footprinting, the solution to your problem is nuclear power. But if you have a multi-criterial approach like that, you will see that nuclear power has several other disadvantages. It is very good for carbon footprinting, but very bad for ionizing radiation or abiotic depletion, because uranium is not a renewable resource. So that's why I insist, only that is LCA, that is not LCA in the life cycle thinking approach. So, and then I finished the introduction. Just to remind you the basic principle of life cycle assessment. First, you make the model of your system with the goal and scope and whatever. What is your question, which system you want to modelize. Then you make the inventory of all resource consumption, all energy and whatever, and all emission to air, water and soil. That is 80% of the work you will have to do. And to do that, fortunately, you don't have to do, you have database. For instance, if you need 1 kilogram of steel, it is already calculated in database. If you need 1 ton or so of concrete, it is already. So you make the entire inventory of your system based on that. And then you, if you have a software, you press a button and the impact assessment is in front of you. We are several in that room working on that. That's research to improve those categories. But for users, like most of you will be, your job is there, and then you press a button and you get midpoint indicators, or you can convert into endpoint indicators. These only quantify the changes you operate in the environment. I mean, there is no impact, damage, sorry. There is only I increase the acidification of the soil. This is not positive or negative, I don't know, I increase it. And then I can calculate the damage it can produce to terrestrial ecosystem. And here it is damage. So that's the two big families of indicators in LCA. And Eva will present you results on both midpoint and endpoint with only 3 categories. So I think it's okay for the introduction, no question. No? So let's go for now to guideline for wastewater treatment plant. I will only focus the guideline on the goal and scope definition, and the list, I don't have sufficient time to present everything, so I will, the list of what I present is not exhaustive. And also on life cycle inventory, I don't have time to focus on the interpretation of the results. So let's go first for goal and scope. There are several goal and scope, and the previous presentation shows that you can make an LCA for several purposes. I make a kind of summaries. You can have to compare technological system of process for wastewater treatment, to assess the respective contribution of the processes to the entire system, or to assess the effectiveness of sanitation. That's an example of three main goals that you can have for making an LCA. And that can be done at different level of for different purposes. As we saw in the previous, to make decision at the scale of the state, or to make decision at the scale of the city, or to choose the technology. So that's one. I will show you that for those different types, the system boundary should be completely different. For instance, I'll take 3 examples, I think. If I want just to compare systems, I want to compare wetland with activated sludge system. I don't need the sewer, it is the same for the two systems, the sewer itself. But I will need to include all that, including the end of the life of the output of sludge and whatever, including the discharge, Because if I compare two systems which are different, that is another one, if the quality is not the same, for instance, the quality of the output from a wetland system is not exactly the same than from an activated sludge, I will have to include in my inventory the outputs, the discharge in the water body, because they are not the same. If I compare two systems where the output, the discharge in the water are exactly the same, I don't need to include that in the system boundary. Another example, comparing two technologies. In that case, I don't want to compare the entire system, but I just want to assess the effectiveness of, for instance, for drying sludge. I have a mechanical system and I have a thermal system. I just want to compare which is the best one on the environmental point of view. In that case, I don't need to have the entire system boundary. I just need to add that. But if the system affect a little bit the output, I should include the output. If this subsystem remove in a better way phosphorus, for instance, I should include the output, the discharge. That's the difficulty of how to fix the system boundary of the comparison. And if it affects the sludge, for instance, the quality of the sludge, for instance, the weight of the sludge, it will affect the entire end-of-life system of sludge. And then the last example is if I want to assess, because for instance the Ministry of Environment asked me to do that, the effectiveness of sanitation system, my system boundary first of all will be there. And then if I have sludge methanization, I produce energy. But then for that kind of purpose, if this is done for strategic decision support, I will have to take into account the consequential effect of this energy produced. I mean, this energy will be used instead of something else. Maybe in France, instead of nuclear electricity. And the environmental burden due to avoided nuclear electricity should be higher than the system itself, that's why I have to do consequential LCA. I have to expand my system to something else, which is not wastewater treatment, which is energy production. That is the meaning of consequential LCA. So, you have seen on those three examples that the system boundary is goal and scope dependent. What is your goal? Why are you conducting an LCA? And then the consequence is your system boundary. So then, about life cycle inventory, we will go quickly through some key points. It's impossible to go about all those details, and we are making a guide for good practice of LCA for France, where all these recommendations are. Sorry. So the first point is, when you are making the inventory, people spend a lot of time to know how many concrete I have in my wastewater treatment system. We don't mind about the concrete. The construction, you will see the result, is very small in comparison to the operation and maintenance. But you should have an equilibrated mass balance, and Eva will insist a lot on that. That is the water content with some substances, and that is the output. The output is the water content at the output of the wastewater treatment, emission to air, but what remains in the sludge, if it is a red detector in the ribs or in the filter matrix. Okay? And the sum of all the outputs should be equal to the sum of the inputs. And I have been myself exposed to several LCA of wastewater treatment. I have been involved in three critical review of wastewater treatment for a very big French company. And I have never seen an equilibrated mass balance in LCAs for wastewater treatment. Never. So the results are, you should do this for nitrogen, for phosphorus, for carbon, etc. So then the end of life, two focus. One, the end of life is very important. There are several options. One is incineration or that kind of stuff with cement, concrete, or you say. Yeah. Yeah. But I want to just make a small focus on agricultural spreading because it is the main practice in France. So, with your systems is producing sludge. And you have to take into account the end of life of sludge. And the end of life of sludge is, it goes out of the wastewater treatment, there is some storage, and then there is transportation, storage again, spreading. And then this spreading can be or not, can avoid or not, mineral fertilizers. How to take that into account? So, before doing that, there is two main aims for sludge spreading. One is to eliminate wastewater waste. One is to allow agricultural recycling of nutrients. If you don't know really of the, what are the practice, you can chase this simple way of assessing if you are in that situation or that situation. If the farmer pays for compost, you are in that situation. If the farmer is paid to be for the sludge to be spread on his field, you are in that situation. That's what I wrote in blue. So depending if it is spreading for waste elimination or for recycling treatment, you will have to go through several questions. I will try to save some time, not going so much. But for instance, you have to, in both cases, have to take into account the emission and the storage. You have, but the substitution of avoided fertilizers should not be taken into account in there, and it should be in that situation. Okay? And then you will have that in the slides to see the details. So I will focus on that. How you can do that? And how you can do that? Substitution and what are the field emission? On the next slide, it explains you when you spread the sludge on the field, those process happens and there are emission of nitrogen under different form that cause acidification. That one is a very big greenhouse gas contributor, etc. And that generates a lot of eutrophication, the leaching. So. If I spread the sludge on the field, I have direct emission immediately during the 8 hours following the spreading. There are ammonia emission. And then, depending on the culture and whatever, you will have all the other emission I show you, nitrogen emission. And that should be compared to if you want to take into account the avoided fertilizer, you should deduce all those emissions, the avoided emission of the fertilizers. And how you can do that? You cannot do that one for one. 1 kilogram of nitrogen there is not the equivalent of one nitrogen in the form of mineral fertilizers. And the recommendation for the equivalence factor, it is not 1:1 for nitrogen, phosphorus of what? It should be based on agricultural practices. And the agricultural practices, depending on the culture and the area, in that is an example in the north of France, they substitute phosphorus content 1:1, but they don't substitute nitrogen content 1:1 because the availability of nitrogen in the sludge is lower for culture than in mineral fertilizers. And you should, in your substitution rules, follow the real practice of farmers, which is something like that. So that's it for the general, some illustration of how complex an LCA can be. And now Eva will present you the application of that on the wetland system.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sorry.
About the last slide. Substitution rates are only for France based on what bibliography?
Yes, it is based on agricultural practice and recommendation because in practice, if you have that is time and you have year one, tomorrow Asuncio will explain you LCA in agriculture. We also have a very great expertise on LCA in agriculture. You have year one, year two, year three. And you may have some crop there, and another one there, and another one there. And the mineral fertilizer availability for crop is like that. But for instance, for nitrogen. But if you put supernatant. It is like that, or maybe more, even more. That part of nitrogen will be available for the crop 2 years after application. So the farmer don't know what he will do, so he don't take that into account. And that's why we have 0.45.
But I only have found 0.5 and 0.7 for nitrogen and phosphorus in Bavaria.
That is based on what we recommend is to see in the region where it is spread. The practice, because agriculture, for instance, in Mediterranean areas like Montpellier, the recommendations are completely different than those applied in the north of France for growing cereals. So you should, and in France there is a website where you can calculate that, and you just go to the Arvalis, you just say,
and
there is a tool to calculate that in France, okay. Yes, available on the internet. Arvalis is the Arvalis is the Institute for Vegetal Production. But then it is a little bit difficult to find where it is because it is a huge sheet. But no more questions. So the two main ideas: take care of the end of life of product. For instance, in wastewater, you put all the pollutants that were in the water. Are put in the sludge. So the main focus should be on the sludge, because now there is no more problem with water, it is clean. And the second point is the system boundary depending on the goal and scope. That one is valid for every, but how to calculate the equivalence factor is dependent on the agricultural practices, which are quite different between countries.
So I continue with the case study with vertical with bed filters. So this is a process which is filtering the wastewater by going through a media, and there are several media with different cranometry and there's real beds. And around horizons, you have oxygen released by the root system, and this provides an aerobic condition for the degradation of organic matter. You have also an aerobic bacteria at play, which combines the effect on the degradation of organic matter. So it's pretty simple, the water is going through the system, then it's going to another filter, which is in a vertical. So, well, to define a system, you need to consider where you put the boundaries and what you exclude from the boundaries. So for this study, because we are focusing on the performance on wastewater treatment of the vertical flow, we are excluding solids which are treated separately, and the sewer network, because it's not the main focus of the study. So the upstream system boundary is set here, and downstream system boundary is the same water body. So, from the vertical flow, we have biomass, stabilized sludge, and pretty different. For all of this, we will have to gather information for the life cycle inventory. I could detail later on the hypothesis for the end of life, for the sludge, for biomass. I'll take it later on also. So the first stage is 3 beds, and then on the second stage we have 2 beds, 2 filters. how to build the inventory. Well, there are several levels to build the inventory, but we need first to specify an infrastructure. And for the system, we define an infrastructure for this capacity, which is quite small from its available in EconoMed database. If you want to consider comparing with another plant like an activated sludge, but for our purpose, we translated into French equivalent habitat because we have defined for French rural habitats a quantity of organic matter per day, which is set at 50 grams of biological oxygen demand per capita per day, when we have in equivalent habitat European Union, it's set as 60 grams of BOD per day per capita. And the specified lifetime is set at 30 years, which is pretty conventional. The design is recommended to set 2 square meters of filter per equivalent habitat. Pipes and drains network, and filter media. And the level to focus on inventories, the emissions, how to inventory them. So, it's pretty dependent on technology and the conditions of operation. For air, we focused on CO2, CHK, and nitrogen monoxide. And for water, we included micropollutants, and if when possible, we included micropollutants. And for soil, we only looked at an application for all biosolids, which happened during the end of life of sludge, not during the operation of wastewater. This is an example of data from literature for relating water emissions to the infrastructure. So we have approximately 6 milligrams of total nitrogen. We chose to express the emissions in relation to one person equivalent. So we can multiply by the total capacity of the plant. For example, 800 people connected to the station. Because if you take concentrations, it can vary if you have a treatment plant which is received a lot of water or not. So we have CO, ammonium, nitrogen, oxidized nitrogen, phosphorus, and in air, gas, and to soil, known, but they're included in the soil, in agricultural spreading. So, big part of, it's a big question to try to have coherent flows between pollutant centering system, air emissions, and sludge produce. So this basic application on the low conservation of mass, and it allows to check if we have consistent order of magnitude between partitioning coefficient and emission form. So I develop it later on. It is an example of mass balance on phosphorus. We have a total of 2 grams per of phosphorus per day per capita, of which most is phosphates, and a few is organic particulate phosphorus. So in the transfer matrix, the phosphates are not pretty well absorbed by the riverbed, because there is no selective precipitation of phosphate. But we have most of the particulate which is absorbed and taken up into reeds by biomass uptake. There is another portion of phosphate into sludge.
Reeds are the plants, for those who don't know, the plants and the informatics are roots of the plant.
So there are several catacolytic tools. We can have good measure, because we can measure into the effluents, and we have some scientific studies on it. For which it's an estimation from specialist advice. For example, riverbeds are taking up 4% of total phosphorus per year. And then we have poor data because we don't have any information on it. So, for example, the filter matrix is deducted from what's left. So phosphorus is completely unmineralized, but we have some phosphorus in deposit from the estimation of phosphorus uptake is set up. So it's another example of nitrogen mass balance. We have a total of 10, and which we would be looking for 10 outputs. So nitrogen is mostly an ammonium form. And there is a bit of the nitrogen monoxide, but it's set at the upper estimated range to stay conservative. For the filter matrix, it's the same as for phosphorus. We don't have any a lot of data, so we estimate it by the degree of difference between what's accounted for and what's left. How do we convert? Because in CIMAPRO we have to enter substance as COD or ammonium, but it's in gram of substance, and the elemental mass balance is done on the elements. So from my mass balance I have 6.23 grams of nitrogen form. So I calculated molecular mass, and then I calculated exact mass of the substance which is released to the environment. It's 27.6 grams of nitrate. I continue. Infrastructure of the model. So it's a general organization that you can do it in your way if you prefer. Ancient infrastructure and operation maintenance. And then I specify here the functional unit is chosen as the kilogram of biological oxygen per day because it's the main function of my wastewater treatment plant. And I know it, it has a given capacity. So for example, for the VRBF, which has a daily renal load to treat of 48.36 kilos, because it's the 50 grams per capita per day, multi-factor 806 people. I have an infrastructure for 30 years, but I take one day of operation for my system. My emissions are multiplied by it's habitable because it's the same island. And I take one day of operation with electricity. We don't have any ancillary material. And then my adult life, because I know the amount of sludge produced, 11.4 kilograms of suspended solid per day. So 20% is said to be incinerated, 70% to be sludge, to be spread on sludge agricultural field, and 10% by landfill. It's the French statistics, so it may change. For weeds, I have considered animal life, but because it's mostly biogenic carbon. For now, it's not counting towards any impact category. But it can change if we have new factors for characterization of biogenic carbon. Or if I decide to change you, I focus then on the operation maintenance step. So, operation maintenance, it's overall operation a study line and a water line. And for overall operation, I have some pre-treatment, vegetation management, which is a patchy grid around the plant. On the sludge line, it's mostly the sludge extraction, and I need a tractor shovel. For water line, it's not a, it's not a pretty energy intensive, but you need to check whether the rebates are functioning properly. So filter inspection, and somebody is coming a few times a week to check. Maybe we have once per year to put to compost or to burn on site. So I present the results from the contribution analysis of vertical flows. You can see that the emissions are accounted for most of the local impacts, except climate change, because it's due to the nitrogen monoxide. Yeah. And just for information, I present you the results from an activated sludge. You can see there is a bigger share for electricity. Yeah, electricity, and infrastructure. Categories for ecotoxicity, human toxicity, non-cancer, and human toxicity. Because we find them these are pretty much more accurate than the CP. They allow you to add micropollutants as well. So for example, if we look at the ecotoxicity impact, we can see that for reactivated sludge, most of it is carried by phosphorus into the water. Because particulate phosphorus is found in the effluent. It's precipitated phosphate into the plant, but particulate phosphorus is bound to suspended solids. So that's why. And for the VRBF, it's more copper. Some micropollutants and metals are not retained pretty well. To show you what you can do with a life cycle analysis, you can also compare two systems if you choose the same functional unit, which is consistent for the two systems. So the RBF is in a ITO range and active sludge. Near emissions are a bit more. Not for the active sludge, but we have this for habitat. Well, for nitrates, we have more organic nitrogen. Because the RBF doesn't do a lot of denitrification, but it does a lot of nitrification. So there's a bigger impact on marine nitrification. For phosphates, the RBF doesn't precipitate phosphates because it doesn't have chemicals to help it like the activity sludge. It's clear that the VRBF needs a bigger area to treat the same quantity of pollution because it's more extensive. And to finish one branch course, the activity is sludge dry rebed, so it's with the sludge functioning like a rebed but composting, and then to serve the physical chemical functioning. Yeah. So you can have an overview of the impact of the system. Any questions? No.
In the system definition part, can you show it again?
Yeah.
System definition can be title.
Which one?
In the title of 24.
J'y vais avec ça.
Ouais.
Which one? 20?
System definition
of the first one. Oh, there is one much more detailed one now with the end of life. Which that one?
Oh, yeah, it was. Did you try any sensitivity analysis of the different final estimation of the percentages the agriculture spreading? Like, for example, I know that 70% that it's all meat ratio in France. No? Are you about to study?
Yes.
So did you try the lower value or the maximum value of percentage of sensitivity analysis?
For
for the final destination of the flight?
Why I said?
No.
You said that's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because it's from the statistics from French perspective.
Yes, but that's the media, I guess. 70%?
Yeah.
The average.
He asked if you have done the sensitivity study on the percentage of the different respirators. Yes, but you don't do any sensitivity study.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
You see how it's?
No,
okay. On the biomass, it says that the 80% is close to incineration. Didn't you try any substitution of energy producing and not incinerating the 80% of the biomass? Did you try to substitute the generation of energy of that biomass?
We don't need it. It's peanuts. Peanuts.
Yeah.
It produces per year.
It's not a lot.
Peanuts. Okay. Nothing is like a fire.
It's
5 minutes and that's it. So it doesn't work.
Okay.
But that's a very good question, because when you do an LTI, you first do an LTI with rough hypothesis, and then you see the weight of each part, and we have seen that that is nothing. So
okay.
If it should have not been nothing, we should have done something better
okay.
for that.
And that's what the previous presentation said also, it's an iterative process. Make a rough ILCA with rough data, generate data from EcoInvent and whatever from database,
yeah.
And then you see where what are the main contributors, and you put all the your energy to improve the inventory of barrels. And you don't need to improve the inventory of concrete. The concrete, you don't see it. It is like
okay. And then the end of life of reef, you also said, yeah, you also said it was like really no important value of the impact.
Incineration, if you like, if you take, I like the carbon is very genetic.
Yeah, okay.
And it doesn't figure out on the
when it is incinerated in the field, which if it was bigger amount, which is not the case, we should take into account particulate matter emission, because it is a kind of fire at the fireplace, not in a factory. They could catch it and then make it. So that emits particulate matter, but
yeah.
The amount is so small that it doesn't work.
Yeah, but I imagine that in a big scale, because that's not a big scale plant. It might have different end of life.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering about the value of the results, because you only showed percentages. And I don't know, like, the order of magnitude of the value of the results at the end.
We don't present
any
uncertainty analysis because the time was so short. We have so much to present in an hour. Then,
so yeah, there you only have like percentages. Can I maybe ask what the value of the climate change for plants for the comparison? You don't have to tell me the value, but it's like 0 point something or 2 point something or 10.
Yes, it is available, but not in that presentation.
Okay.
Yes, we don't remember.
You
want the instead of 100% to have the value how much kilogram of CO2 emitted. Did you find? We have. You can ask Eva.
Yep.
She will supply you the results, but
okay.
For classic presentation, we don't use it.
Okay.
Yes, but in that, I don't say the infrastructure is not important. I said concrete in infrastructure is not important.
Okay.
just as an illustration, I mean, you have to take care in detail. There is a full report available on the French site now, the ONEMA, the French Agency for Water. All the reports that EVA did are available freely, 100 pages for each system. Which category? Yes, because for instance, metal depletion or fossil depletion.
No, there are pipes in rooms.
Yes, the infrastructure. Yeah, there is only the infrastructure for metal, for instance. In that case, or for fossil depletion, or for. In that case, there is the infrastructure, but there are several chemical product used, which are all in operation and maintenance. So, the infrastructure is indeed bigger there, but yeah, there is only that. There is nothing else, or nothing else, not so much else. So that figure, midpoint indicator, is very useful for eco-design. For you, I mean the people working in water treatment, if you see that that one, you can easily see that if you want to reduce that, you will see the substances immediately, and you have ideas on how to remove them. Category per category, it is very useful for eco design, but for decision making, it could be much more easy to use endpoint indicators, which allow you to mix all the midpoint in three categories. And that's a different goal and scope. In that case, you want to take a decision, you to choose a wetland system between an activated study, and in that case, you want to make a co-design of your system.
In this slide, the reed bed is for 8,000 inhabitants, and the other two are for 5,000. How come that you can compare?
That is per habitant. I mean, the impact for treating the, I think it was 1 kilogram of DBO sink, VOD5, sorry. So it is the same functional unit, I mean. But we don't get the, because those systems are designed for small communities and those are designed for bigger in France. CEMAGREF recommends to use red bed filters for lower than 1,500 habitants and activated sludge for 5,000. And in between, it depends. So the low recommendations are like that, so we don't get data for a small activated sludge. Because in our opinion, in CEMAGREF, it is really better to use for small communities red bed filters. For several reasons, including the maintenance of the system. In small communities, you don't have an engineer or to manage the system. With red bed filter, you just need a worker. You teach him a week, and then the system functions perfectly for decades. In this case of activated sludge, you need an engineer. If not, if you operate a small activated sludge by an operator, it collapses after 3 years. So that's why we make that comparison, but the comparison is based on the same functional unit, one habitant or one kilogram of DBO. So we should go to the next part and final part. So we have seen how to conduct an LCA, we have seen the main point, and we will see the entire system now. So that's the system boundary, and we want to include the sewer in the system. We choose an activated sludge system to see the contribution. We have to choose a system. So because it is a bigger city, in that case we choose an activated sludge one with the same hypothesis than Eva present to you. And we choose that system for the comparison, for the waste treatment system. And then we make the model of two cities, a small one, 1,500 habitants, with a population density of about 3,000 capita per square kilometer. that is the main parameter that define the length of the pipes and what the, that kind of things. And it is close to Montpellier. And we choose another one, which is bigger, 5,000 inhabitants. But the, in that case, that is an old village, quite dense, with street, with a house. Here it is typically a much more, we call sprawled. So I mean, the houses are sprawled with big gardens. And so the density is very much lower. And then, just to get an idea, that's the population density all over the world for different cities. It goes from less than 5,000 inhabitants per square kilometer up to very dense cities like Istanbul or Tibet. So you have seen that our are like that. And we have made, in addition to those two sewers, which exist, we have the drawing of the sewer, we create two virtual ones, a very dense one and a very sprawled one. Okay? That is, it is a virtual one, it doesn't exist. The two others exist, and we make exactly the model of them, and those doesn't exist, we make that, that kind of thing. And a dense one with a density of about 30,000 capita per square kilometer, and a very small one, that kind of urbanism, with only less than 1,000 capita per square kilometer. And then we have, therefore, four sewers that can be modelized, two that are true, and two that are extreme. Okay? So then we create a modular inventory, which includes 15 construction equipment, a team with several equipment, and then in the inventory we say how many hours of that team I need to construct 1 kilometer of that kind of network. And it includes all the fabrication of the machine, all the emission, all the consumption of fuels and whatever. So, so 15 equipment, 7 teams, then about say 70 different elementary components, like that. 34 sewer sub-assembly, separative or not, networks, and then 15 different sewer subsets. That's kind of 25 hours with everything included. So we have a database like that, and with that we played with elementary component, sub-assembly, sub-network, and full network. And we have been able, that is the Grabel example, the village you see, we modelized by, that is a sub-assembly of maybe 50 houses and etc. And we have combined all that data, that inventory data to make. And that is are the results. That is the sewer, sorry it is in French, the, that is the sewer network. And that is the wastewater treatment plant. So, except for ionizing radiation, which is the use of French electricity, which is higher in the way in the wastewater treatment station due mainly to aeration, except for eutrophication also, and ecotoxicity, for all the other impact category, the sewer is above, is higher than 75% of the total. So that's the first result. The sewer, has a, except for water impact categories, ecotoxicity and eutrophication for freshwater and for specific electricity, French mix of electricity, it is really the main contributor to the impact. The it was the assumption was to make an amortizing of the sewer for 30 years, but we also had made the same amortizing. An environmental amortizing, it is the same than economic, but environmental amortizing on 70 years, taking into account some extra job. We have, there is a report also on that. And the that one is with 30 years amortizing. It doesn't change so much, because if you, the amortizing is longer, you have much more work to maintain. And that are the contributor, I don't go in detail, but you have civil engineering, metals, PVC, electricity. It is a specific sewer, which is specific to France, with a concrete pipe and PVC. in some other countries they are much more metallic pipes, like in Switzerland. That's why the results are quite different with Equinvan. That's it, so that's the contribution. Yeah, you can see that that is the impact, and that it is the avoided impact during the end of life of the sewer. You recover some metallic parts because they are very heavy. It's worth, if you ask somebody to recover them, it's worth to come and to, because it is the big iron pieces worth to recover them. So due to the fact you recover them at the end of life, you have some negative impact, which is positive for the environment. And here is the effect of the topography. So the effect of topography only affects ionizing radiation. Topography is the fact that the village is flat or like that, so you have electric pumps in the sewer. So it has some effect, and some eutrophication is due to the discharge, but also due to the production of electricity. So it reduces only those two categories, and it is really a flat village, gravels. We gravels is like that, but we modelize as if it was flat, removing all the pumping station with the same network, and we get that result. So the topography has not so much effect on the environmental profile, but the population density has a huge effect. We have the four network there. The most dense, the sprawled one, like American cities, and in between the two French villages. And you can see that you have to remember that in most of the impact categories, sewer is 75% of the total. And you can have, in comparison with the smaller situation and the higher, factor 10. You have about 10 and about 100. So if you have a sprawled city, it can be 10 times more the contribution of the sewer. Understand? So that's the main parameters that affect is urbanism. It is a major contributor, and topography is less important. So just to conclude, we have seen during that presentation the product approach, LCA. You have to know, that's a kind of conclusion, that there is not one, LCA will not solve all the environmental problem of assessment. You have to combine product, I mean, I am calculating impact for one habitant or 1 kilogram of BOD5, but I don't calculate the impact for the true situation for the entire station where it is. So you have to combine environmental risk assessment for site approach, and that's my conclusion. Site approach is a complementary approach to life cycle assessment. The aim of life cycle assessment is to really, life cycle thinking is to avoid pollution transfer. So it should be multi-criteria and it should be life cycle based. But it is in synergy with environmental risk assessment, because environmental risk assessment will better answer to that kind of question. For instance, if you, LCA, we don't know if it is better to put it there or there. But life cycle assessment will say, yeah, there were a forest with exactly that kind of trees, and we want to keep it, so it is better there than there. LCA will not tell you that. Risk assessment will tell you that. It will also help you to choose really the discharge point. Is it better to discharge there, or like 1 kilometer below, or that kind of stuff. LCA doesn't give you any answer. But the problem is that only the construction and use stage are taken into account in that kind of approach, seat approach. On the other hand, the advantage is that noise, air quality, noise for neighboring and that kind of stuff, or risk of contamination of the direct neighboring is better assessed with those kind of methods than with LCA. The point is that if you only do that, you do pollution transfer. And the LCA really help you to avoid pollution transfer. Because if you are doing that, you only look to what is going outside the pipe. But you don't look from, for instance, where the energy came from and how it is made. So it is a complementary approach. And we are trying, the people working on LCA, to that's a name for the next 10 years, maybe, or maybe more, to have only one approach that can aggregate two. But we are up right now, we are far away from having one approach that can do both. So that's the conclusion. No question?
Eva is much more specialized than me on those systems.
The Latin
language is the weeds, what are the specialized of weeds?
Weeds,
the Bordeaux.
Have you tried or compared different types of weeds to compare the effect?
We don't ourselves, but the team in Lyon in charge of that kind of system. The point is that the plant itself does not almost nothing. That's the only idea of having a wheat. That does nothing. That is that. The idea is to have something which produces aerobic conditions. And with never, if the wind is moving that a little bit, because there is a kind of sludge that is created, but the wind is moving like that, and then there is air going there. And we don't need the natural system. If we can have found mineral things that could do that, we should have done it. It should have been better to manage it. But there is no system, no anthropogenic system, better than wheat to do that aerobic. But the amount of N and P in the crop itself is peanuts. The plants has roots, and those roots create aerobic condition. So then the specie of the plant depends on much more on the climate, than but not on what it removes. In some climates, the roots are better developed with one specie than with another. But we are specialists, Eva and me, of LCA. We are specialists of that in Lyon, and we may ask some advice about the problem itself. But you have to remember that has no effect. The effect is there, aerobic condition.
Yeah, but there is some bacteria that are actually very plant specific. So if you use one weed, then you have one microorganism in this weed of the thing. So if you choose another plant, it is the effect of this phosphorus removal might be quite different.
Yes, I agree. Yes. There is a kind of synergy between the bacteria and the plant. Yeah. But we are not specialists of that, Eva and me. Yeah.
Yeah. But when we are using this kind of platform, they are using for a specific wastewater, for small communities with a very well-defined composition. If we apply this kind of process or technology to other kinds of effluents or wastewater, we need to move to other kinds of plants. For instance, if we have metal, we need to use plants that absorb, that retain the metal in the reason.
But that we were talking only of domestic water in that presentation for the system. It is domestic water.
Yes.
Yeah. There is almost, I think, no, almost 1,000 wastewater treatment plant like that in France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For instance, in Portugal, we are using this kind of technology for leachates from mines, for instance, to remove iron metal. And in UK also.
But in the case of remediation, it is not exactly the same process. For domestic water, the main aim is to have aerobic condition. To remove metals, it is much more another process. There are crops that pick up the metals, and that's absolutely not the same process. In that presentation, I'll take the construction and the operation for energy, for pumping. But University of Gerona has done measurement of methane emission in the sewers, and we will try to combine our results to make to compare the effect of the that is only direct impact, construction and operation energy, and they assess the indirect impact, which are the emissions within the sewer. Because the sewer itself, because there is a long time, the sludge, the wastewater spend a long time in the sewer, as much as the city is big. It can spend 2 or 3 days, depending on the size of the city. And yeah, there are emissions. We will try to combine our results, but it is not yet done. Yes, in the mass balance, we take into account the metals. If they are in the sludge, then they are emitted to soil. If they are in the water, they are emitted to water. As much as we can, with all the problem of use stocks and about heavy metals. That's a parenthesis for experts. The fate of heavy metal is difficult to assess.
The energy that you use for pumping, or
it shows that the main issue is the construction. Yeah, and you may have seen that the bitumen, when you in France, I don't know if you are much more organized in Spain, but in France, each time you make a pipe, you dismantle the road and you rebuild the road. You never think before to put all the pipes before making the road, never. So the bitumen. And the road itself has a great impact on the width of the pipe.
Well, bitumen, I don't remember.
Bitumen, yes, that's, I am colorblind, so that's that color.
Black,
yes. And it is the road itself.
So you will have the problem if you put a telephone line,
I think it's everywhere the same problem. Okay, thank you.